Good morning, everyone. There we go. Happy Mother's Day. As a pastor, it's always a unique situation to be in the position to not be a mother and yet somehow be compelled to tell you moms how to do your job better. It doesn't go well. That is not the purpose today. Today's message, yes, it is for mothers and it is addressed to mothers, but I want you to understand it's for everyone. It really is for everyone. And it comes from a familiar passage. We're going to be looking today at hidden heroes. We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'm entering into this with great trepidation because anytime I address parents, I remember of the time before I was married, there's actually a quotation. It's attributed to the Earl of Rochester, and he said, "Before I got married, I had six theories about bringing up children. Now I have six children and no theories." Pretty accurate. Theory kind of goes out the window once you become a parent, and there's a lot of things that we could say, a lot of tips and tricks and pointers, but reality is it's not an easy thing to be a parent. It is certainly a challenge. So as a pastor, I have to make a little confession. I enjoy the show Golden Girls. And Dorothy's Bornack, Bea Arthur, one of my favorite characters in that whole, other than the mother, Sophia Petrillo, she is my favorite. And she said something that kind of hurt when she said it, but I had to admit it was kind of true. It was accurate at least. Being a mom is not easy. If it were, fathers would do it. You have a very tough task, moms, and I recognize that. But I also recognize that it's true what Lance Conrad said, that I can imagine no greater heroism than being a mom. There's no greater heroism than that. We're going to look at 1 Samuel at the example of a mother that I think everyone in this room is going to be able to identify with, but I certainly think, moms, you will be able to identify with deeply. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, starting in verse 1, "There was a certain man of Ramathim Zophim of the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. He had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children." This sets the stage for the crisis, the problem, the issue that ensues. "Now this man used to go up year by year from his city to worship," that is, he would go to Jerusalem, "and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion, because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb." That last phrase might seem like something very small, but hold on to that. That's an important fact. It doesn't just say it in passing. It's important for us to understand the source of this crisis. The Lord had closed her womb. "And her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore, Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, 'Hannah, why do you weep and why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons?' After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting in a seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord." What brought Hannah so much vexation? Just because Peninnah was a jerk and kept on picking on her? That her rival, the other wife, the other woman perhaps, was able to pick on her for a moment? No. What brought Hannah to the level of anxiety and vexation to the point that she could not eat was her failure to live up to expectations. Now, you moms know a little bit about that, don't you? each one of us do. For Penina, the expectation was, you're supposed to have a baby, and you can't. Neener, neener, I'm the better wife. And Elkanah, his expectation of, you should be content. You should just be happy with what you've got. What about you? This doesn't just apply to moms. Some of you young ladies, you're here and you're thinking about expectations that you're supposed to live up to. What if I never get married? What if I'm single for the rest of my life? What if I never have children? That means there's one Sunday out of the year that I'm not going to get anything from the pastor because he's just going to talk to moms, and I'm not one. Expectations. But does living up to those expectations stop just because you've become a mother? No. What if I go unnoticed? What if I'm unappreciated? What if I don't measure up to success? What if my best is not good enough? It's not like Hannah wasn't trying. It's that God had closed her womb. It was impossible. She could not have a baby. And try as she might, she was never going to live up to that expectation. Mom, what you do amazes me. Because you are expected to be a homemaker, baker, interior decorator, house cleaner, minor injuries doctor, conflict negotiator, passionate lover, child chauffeur, schedule organizer, bookkeeper, and any other number of things, all while keeping a cheery grin. How do you do it? Let me know. I wish I had half of that discipline. There are many expectations. On top of that, in our day and age, for you to be a career woman. My goodness. Now, there were several expectations in Hannah's day of a wife, but one rose to the top. This was the big one. Motherhood. A good wife was expected to provide her husband with offspring, somebody to carry on the family name, somebody to take care of the estate. And in fact, her future welfare was dependent on her having a son. Because more than likely, she was going to outlive her husband. And if the husband is not there to take care of the estate and to take care of her, she is completely lost. We see this in the book of Ruth with Naomi and her daughters-in-law, where all of a sudden Naomi is left without husband or sons. So she is left without hope of provision in this world. Hannah's rival would constantly throw this perceived failure to meet expectations in her face, grieving her to the point of this deep distress. But Elkanah, her husband, responds with another expectation, contentment. He expects her to be satisfied just with him. Look, even if he were a total catch, this is still a cold answer. What was Hannah to do? She's in a catch-22 of expectations, expected to have a child, but expected to be content without one. Perhaps you haven't been able to meet everyone's expectations of you either. And by the way, I recognize that probably the person that has the most expectations looks at you every morning in the mirror. So what about when you don't live up to your own expectations, let alone the expectations of others? Hannah's story has hope for you. See, a lot of mothers, because of their inability to match up and meet all of society's expectations, you feel guilty for not being perfect. I'm not going to ask for a showing of hands, because I guarantee you every mom's hand would go up. And by the way, everybody else's hand would go up. That we don't meet everybody's expectations and we feel guilty because of it. So what did Hannah do? She brought the expectation to God, and God heard. First thing you need to know this morning is that God hears you. He hears you. He hears when you bring the expectations to him. God, I'm not going to make it again today. I'm just not going to get everything done on the checklist. I'm not going to get all the chores done. I'm not going to get all my work tasks done. I'm not going to be able to get the children to exactly where they need to be. That's exactly what Hannah does. She brings this expectation to God because, after all, it was God who had closed up her womb. We see this in 1 Samuel 1:10. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, If you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head." As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. Hannah took it to God, praying to him, and God hears. Her prayer was silent, but God heard her pain too deep for words. He not only heard, he gave her assurance through Eli the priest. Then in his time, the same God who had closed her womb now gave her a son, Samuel, meaning heard by God. We're going to find that out later in this chapter, but his name means heard by God. God heard. God hears you too, moms. And it's not like he's shocked. Let me ask you, who made you? Who made you the person that you are? Who gave you the opportunities that you have in life? Who set the limitations that you have? And yet somehow we think he's going to be shocked when we come to him saying, "Hey, I have limited opportunities. I have only so much of me to go around." And he goes, "What? I'm the only one who's infinite?" Look, moms, you should definitely try to be like God, but the omnipotent and omnipresent thing, he's got a corner on. You can only do so much, and you can only be so many places at once. Hannah took that to God, and he heard. God hears you too. His expectation is that you will bring your limitations and others' expectations to him, to lean on him, depend on him throughout this journey of motherhood. His strength is made perfect in your weakness too. It's not just about ministry work. Trust me, there is no bigger mission field than your home. You want somebody that needs God's strength. It is a mom training up her children in the ways of God. But mom, let me ease this up quite a bit for you. Are you ready for this? There is only one expectation you have to live up to. The only expectation you have to live up to is God's. Everybody else can go pound salt. God will take care of them too. You are dependent on him just as much as they are. Now, before this is taken to the extreme and you go home and you just decide you're not going to do anything because Pastor Aaron said, "I only have one expectation to live up to," so you guys do your own laundry. This does not give us an excuse for lazy and hands-off parenting, all right? But our parenting relies far more on our connection to God than our doing things for him. Far more on our connection to God than doing things for him. Because nobody else's opinion of you is going to matter at the end of it all. Ultimately, God alone is the judge. In Ecclesiastes 12:14, it says this, "For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil." No one knew Hannah's prayers at this time. And she would go on and continue to provide for Samuel while he's in the temple working with Eli. She would take care of him. It never says that he knew who was providing this for him. No one else knew. Moms, I understand you do far more than anybody else in your house recognizes. And there is no way we could possibly know all that you do. The unspoken prayers. The little chores that you do simply because you know they need to be done. The tokens of love that you give. Mom, God sees your hidden efforts. Everything. He sees the inner workings and motives of your heart. So let's take encouragement from what Paul has for us in 1 Corinthians 4:5. He says, "Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts." And so far, it sounds like, oh no, this is him going to be airing out our dirty laundry. But he says this, "And then each man's praise will come to him from God, Look, we are never going to be able to give you the applause you deserve any more than we could give dads the applause they deserve. The applause doesn't come from us. It comes from God. His praise will, and your praise will come from God. God sees your heart. He knows what's going on. He knows the struggle. He hears and sees. He regards each of you. And you might be saying, but look, I've got thousands of things to do. I'm worn out from all of this. I am not enough. I mean, think about where Hannah was in the midst of all this. I can't have a baby, God. And you've put it in my heart to have one. And you've put it in Penina's heart to pick on me until I do. Lord, would you do something? Well, God not only hears, God refreshes. He didn't just hear Hannah's prayer. He sends a response. God is not just the God who hears your prayers and says, oh, I'm sorry. Sounds like a real tough situation. No. He acts on Hannah's behalf in the midst of all this. Remember, Eli had mistaken Hannah for being a drunk babbler. Now, why, as a drunk babbler, you would go to the temple, I don't know. Maybe he had seen it before. Maybe it was popular in the time. But anyway, Eli says to her, how long will you go on being drunk? In verse 14, put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I'm a woman troubled in spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman. For all along, I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. It had been her heart pouring out to God. Then Eli answered, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant you your petition that you have made to him. And she said to him, let your servant find favor in your eyes. Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. She went from being completely vexed and upset and torn up so that she couldn't even eat, that now her face doesn't even look sad. She's eating. What happened? God sent refreshment through Eli. Now, what we don't hear about Eli in this part is Eli is not a great guy. His sons are not good at all. But he is still acting as the voice of God to God's people. And that refreshment came as he said, go in peace. That word peace is shalom. Shalom, wholeness. Is things being right, things being as they should be. And this refreshes her soul. She knows God has heard her, and she knows God is going to act. She had humbled herself. Now she is waiting on God to do what only God can do. God had closed her womb. Only God could open it. 1 Peter 5:7 puts it this way, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. She didn't try to take it on herself. She didn't try harder. She took it to God and trusted him to do the exalting at the right time. That she, as God's servant, would have the honor of being a mother. Listen, moms, when you trust God with your children, he takes the weight off your shoulders. She knew she didn't have to try harder anymore. She didn't have to go through who knows all the effort she had gone through, but it had been years and years and years of trying. So you can let your imagination run free. She's revived here. She's refreshed. She's deciding to do it God's way, trusting him with the outcome, one way or the other. Psalm 19:7 reminds us that the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Doing things God's way, his law, brings refreshing. So let me say it to you this way. If there is not refreshment in your relationship with God, you're probably doing the relationship with everybody else the wrong way. If you are not being revived by your relationship with God, every other horizontal relationship is dependent upon the vertical relationship. And if you're not being refreshed and restored and revived by the vertical relationship, of course you're going to wear out on the horizontal ones. So moms, be refreshed by that. It does revive your soul. My prayer for you is the same as what we see in Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Joy, peace, hope. That's the same peace that we have for shalom. Go in peace. Moms, after today, may you go in peace, in wholeness. May you know that refreshing that comes from God, that you might have that joy and that hope. I mean, didn't Jesus himself say this? Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, this is spoken of in the context of people who are trying to earn God's favor, but they were trying to do so by living up to the expectations of others. Well, this rabbi says this, so I have to live up to that expectation. And this rabbi says this, so I have to live up to that expectation. And all of this piled on top was far more than any human being could possibly do. Of course they were worn out by such a heavy burden. I love Jill Churchill's statement. There's no way to be a perfect mother and a million ways to be a good one. And one way to be a godly one, I would add. Leaning on him completely. Being refreshed and restored from him. Because the truth is, motherhood is the exquisite inconvenience of being someone's everything. And it doesn't stop just because they move out, does it? No. It can get even more exhausting, more draining. But the truth is that if you are so occupied with being someone's everything, you are going to wear out. You can't be that. You can't be that for yourself, let alone your child or children. That's why there has to be such a heavy dependence upon God, because he is the one who has everything for you. He's the one who refreshes you. Love this analogy. Lisa Alter put it this way. Any mother could perform the jobs of several air traffic controllers with ease. Think about that for a moment. While Karen was up here asking our children about how horrible her sausage dish is, which, by the way, she leaned over and said, guess what we're having for lunch today? Sausage. No, we like it at our house. Anyway, she said, when Karen asked the question, what would the world be like if the moms disappeared? Adrian said, there'd be a whole bunch of people late for everything. Yeah, that's kind of true. Very true. And if you are constantly trying to be everything for everyone, what are you for yourself? What is your relationship with God like? When are you pouring in? Because you can only pour out from a vessel that's been filled with something. And if you're constantly pouring out to the point that you're empty, what are you going to be able to give to people? What are you going to be able to give those in your household? Look, I get it. There is power behind a mother's love. Found this one statement from Jamie Maguire. A mother's love is everything. It's what brings a child into this world. It's what molds their entire being. When a mother sees her child in danger, she is literally capable of anything. Mothers have lifted cars off of their children and destroyed entire dynasties. A mother's love is the strongest energy known to man. Now, that's written from a secular perspective, because the strongest power was on a cross. And that was the love of a father. That's true. I understand a mother's love will go through so much. But eventually it has its limits. Can it last forever? What about when your strength wears out? That's why we need to be leaning on God. His love is infinite. His love is limitless. His power has no capacity, no boundary. He can do it all. Moms and dads, we can't as a parent. Lean on him. You might be saying in your head, What if I mess up my children? Or what if I miss my chance? What if I invest too heavily in my career and not enough in my family? Or vice versa, too heavily in my family and not enough in my career? What then? What if I miss my opportunities? What if the effort outweighs the benefit? I give and give and give to my child and they still end up a total mess up. What about then? Just like we can trust that God hears, and just as we can trust that God refreshes and gives us strength, we can trust that God rewards. See, God never meant for you to parent on your own. He gives you strength when you come to Him. That's what He intended it all to be in the first place. We see this in 1 Samuel 1:19. They, that's Elkanah's family, rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. The Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. And she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. Notice, Hannah and Elkanah didn't have the baby on their own. The Lord remembered. It was his action on their behalf. It was God's working in her life that brought this about. But we need to pause for a moment and really think critically for a moment, okay? What was God up to? Why had God stopped her from bearing children in the first place, only to now reverse course and change the whole thing? Only He knows all the reasons, but it seems that one of them was for her to come to Him about it, was for her to draw close to God. Moms, God wants you to find your expectations because that's where you'll meet Him. When we come to the end of ourselves, that's where we begin to recognize God's unlimited ability. And He rewards that when we say, God, I need your strength. I do. And it's to expel all other expectations and trust in His excellence. She doesn't pray for God to shut Peninnah's mouth. She doesn't pray for God to teach Elkanah how insensitive he was by saying, you should just be happy with what you got. Aren't I good enough? No, she says, God, you've done this. You can continue to do what only you can do. God rewards your confidence in Him too, moms. That reward often shows up in the lives of your children. God rewarded Hannah's trust. She dedicates Samuel then to God's use, and use him God does. He becomes the prophet of Israel, leading an entire nation, setting up the kingship of Saul and David, faithfully leading the country and acting as between God and His people, a legacy any mother could be proud of. But what's the name of the book? Hannah? Samuel. Who is made the most of in this story? Samuel. How much applause does Hannah get? Not much. And maybe you're here feeling the same way. Don't you know my kids are great kids? I have poured so much into them, you might be thinking. I have cooked horrible sausage meals long enough for them to be able to complain about in front of the church. I've done all their stinky laundry. I have cleaned up their entire house. I have dealt with every snotty nose, every nasty cold, and that's just my husband. Maybe that's you this morning. I just want to encourage you with what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6. He says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Remember, Hannah was taken for being a drunken woman when she was doing what God had called her to do. Thus, when you give to the needy, and trust me, there is no one more needy in the world than your child, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And listen to this. And your Father, who sees in secret will reward you. Moms, there is a finish line. There is a time when you will have that reward, where you will receive from God the due compensation for all your investment in your children. And that same phrase, do this in secret, so your Father who sees in secret will reward you, this is used in the same, later on in the passage, the same context of prayer and fasting. And it says, lay up yourselves treasures in heaven. Look, there's no Mother's Day present you're going to get that is going to do any a pittance worth of compensation for what you've done, right? But there are treasures in heaven. There's an eternal reward for you. God promises that even when mothering and parenting and working in righteousness for Him, even when that is thankless, it will not be rewardless. Even if it is thankless, it will not be rewardless. He sees in secret. He will reward in public. There's an old Spanish proverb, an ounce of mother is worth a ton of priest. I'll be honest. Most of counseling, most of preaching, most of anything would be fruitless were it not for the heavy investment of mothers. And the people that struggle with it the most are those whose mothers were not guiding them towards God. Moms, your value in the life of your child, your influence, your significance is all in how heavily you are leaning on God to provide for all of this. How much you are trusting Him to reward your investment in the time to come. Because as St. Teresa of Lisieux said, the loveliest masterpiece of the heart of God is the heart of a mother. It's a beautiful depiction of how much He cares for us. If you care that much for your children, what makes you think God cares any less for you? If you, being an imperfect human being, know how to love for and care for your children, how much more does the perfect God in heaven who designed you? As Psalm 139, 13 through 14 reminds us, you formed my inward parts, the psalmist says to God. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Listen, the God who knit your child together while it was inside you isn't going to stop just because they were born. He isn't going to stop working in their life just because they hit school age. He isn't going to give up on their growth just because they go to college or into a career. He is not going to stop growing them as a human being just because they have children of their own. No, His work in their life will continue on, and this is where we trust Him the most. Because here's the truth of it. Before your child was yours, they were God's. While they were in your care, they were God's. And as soon as they walk out of your house and no longer live under your roof, they are still going to be in God's care. They will still be His long after you are gone. Are we living like it? Are we mothering like that? Are we looking forward to the eternal reward? Because here, Hannah gives her only son into the service of God in the temple. She had no clue where this would go. She did not know he would become a prophet. She didn't know that he would become the next huge leader in Israel, the primary one. She did not know, but she knew that God was good and she could trust her son with him. Moms, I think we can learn a lot from them, from this example, from Hannah. That's being a hidden hero. See, successful biblical motherhood is less about living up to everyone's expectations, less about running your kids around to everything that they could be at, less about getting them involved in every possible opportunity so that they have the best chance of success, which, by the way, probably is not going to be including playing in Major League Baseball. The likelihood that your child is going to become a professional athlete, it's a about, let's just say, 250,000 to one, to round it up. It is a 100% chance that they're going to meet God someday. 100%. Let's parent like that. Let's be mothers and fathers focused on that. Because successful biblical motherhood is less about living up to everyone else's expectations and more about living with one hand holding your child's and the other hand clutching onto God's. You want a picture of biblical parenting? There it is. Moms, the only expectation you need to live up to is God's. Fulfill your role in that. Find your significance in that. Rest in that. May you have a happy Mother's Day. God, I pray that today would be a day where mothers are refreshed, where we all are refreshed in recognizing that we are striving after the expectations of people who will never be pleased instead of clutching to the God who is pleased when we come to Him with our limitations. Lord, may we find our peace and rest in that. I pray that mothers would be reminded, that they would be comforted in knowing that You know their limitations, You know what is ahead, we do not, and that Your strength finds its perfection, finds its intended goal in our weakness. Lord, may we follow the example of Hannah, of trusting You, of taking those unmet expectations and laying them before Your feet and saying, do with this as You will. Lord, thank You for these women You have brought into our lives. Thank You for their testimony. Thank You for their example. Pray that they would be richly rewarded for their investment in Your kingdom in eternity. Pray this in Jesus' name for Your glory. Amen. Charm is deceitful, beauty vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruits of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. That's my prayer for you. As you go, I'm going to give you the same phrase that Eli gave Hannah. As you go, moms, may you go in shalom, in wholeness and peace. Happy Mother's Day.